Good evening, everyone. My lesson this evening will be on choices and consequences. Choices and consequences. And all throughout life, each and every one of us, each and every day, are faced with many different opportunities to make choices. Choices ranging from as small or as simple as what to eat in the morning. Or for me, as life directing, as which career to choose, which career to go into. But not only in our physical life are we faced with many opportunities to make choices, but also, and more importantly, in our spiritual life. For all of us that have obeyed Christ and put on him through baptism, each and every one of us are commanded in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 to go out into all the world and to preach and proclaim the gospel. Now, it is our choice whether or not we obey that and obey God and do what he says, or if we are disobedient and don't do that. My first point of this evening will be on Saul and the Amaleks. Saul and the Amaleks, found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Once again, that is 1 Samuel chapter 15. But before we get into it, some background is in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 48, we see the Amaleks already being defeated by Saul and the army of Israel. But now they had started to come back. They had started to grow, get larger, and they began to sin again. So this time God wanted them to be utterly destroyed, to completely and utterly destroyed. He wanted anything they had made, all their people, all their cattle, to be utterly destroyed. And we see his instructions of this in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and the verses number 3. And it reads, "Now go, attack the Amaleks and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them, put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So here we see in verse 3, God's plain and simple instructions to go in and destroy the Amaleks completely, totally, and utterly. God wanted nothing of their stuff, none of their people, to be remaining. So here's Saul's time to make a choice, whether to obey God and destroy everything, or to be disobedient and to take something back as plunder, whether to do what God said to do or to do what he felt is best. We have Saul's decision, or Saul's choice, in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. And it reads, "But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and lambs and everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed." So here we see Saul, king of Israel, choosing to deliberately disobey God. Even though God had told him to go in and destroy everything of the Amaleks, Saul chose to spare the king. He chose to spare the fatted calves and the sheep and the donkeys. So he chose to do what he wanted to do. He chose to, instead of following God, to follow what he wanted to do. And because of Saul's disobedience, or because of his choice to disobey God, there were some consequences. And in verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see Saul's consequence for his disobedience to God. And it reads, "But Samuel said to him, 'I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.'" And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. So because of Saul's disobedience, because of his unwillingness to do what God had told him to do totally, he was now being rejected or replaced as king. And in the very next chapter, chapter 16, we see Samuel anointing David, the next king over Israel. And this is all because of Saul's disobedience and Saul's mindset that he wanted to do what he wanted to do. It didn't matter what God said. He was being replaced as king. To my next point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30. Here we find the story of how first King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to build a golden image, but this wasn't going to be any other normal size mini golden image. King Nebuchadnezzar planned, as we see in verse 1, for this image to be 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So this was a golden image not easily missed. How could any one of us miss something that's 90 feet tall? So in verse number 6 of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, we see King Nebuchadnezzar's instruction through his herald. And it reads, "Then the herald proclaimed loudly, 'This is what you are commanded to do, O people, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whosoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.'" So here we see in verses 4 through 6 that King Nebuchadnezzar was pretty serious about this golden image, and he wanted everyone, as soon as they heard all types of music, to fall down, to bow down, and to worship it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided that they would obey God. They would stay faithful to God's commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, which states that you shall have no other gods before me, nor shall you bow down before any gods. So they decided to be obedient to God and not to bow down before this image the king has set up. And in verse 15, we see the king calling to his presence Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they had been disobedient to the king but obedient to God. So the king decided to give them just one more chance before he condemned them. Just one more chance to bow down before that image. And we see it in verse 15 when it reads, "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So here we see King Nebuchadnezzar trying to give the three Hebrew men a second chance. A second chance to be obedient to him and to disobey God. And then at the end of that verse, we see him getting full of himself by saying, "Then what God will be able to save you from my hand?" He's talking about if they disobey the king. But in verse number 17, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith in God, their trust and obedience in God to stand up to the king and to tell him that God, the God that they serve, is able to deliver him from the fiery furnace and from the king's hand. And we see this in verse 17 when it reads, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego choose God over the king, even though by doing this, they face an earthly consequence of being put to death. How many of us have faith in God to do what he says, even though this world may threaten us or try to persecute us? And then the king was furious. He was so mad at their answer that he had the furnace in order to be churned up 7 times its normal heat. And he had the men bound and immediately cast into the fiery furnace. And my Bible tells me that the furnace was so hot that the men who threw them in were consumed by the flames of it. But then, in verse 24, we see the king, surprised and astonished, and he asks a question in verse 24. "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" Now, why would the king ask such a question? That's because when he looked at the furnace, he saw not 3, but 4 figures walking around unbound in the fire. And the 4th, he says, had the appearance of a son of a god. So the king calls out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what they do? They come out. And they come out and their clothes aren't burnt. Their hair, not even a single hair on their head, is singed by the flames. And they don't even have the smell of fire on them. Now, how many of us could be around and maybe even in a fire and not come out smelling like a smoke? But because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's obedience to God, because of their choice to choose God over men, they were saved and delivered by God. And in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 29, we find the story of a rich young man. Here we see how this young man walked up to Jesus one day and asked him, "What must I do to obtain eternal life?" So Jesus told him in verse 18, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then in verse 20, we see how when the young man heard this, he said, "All these have I kept. What still do I lack?" And in verse 21, that's when Jesus tells him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." So here we see a time or opportunity for the rich man to make a choice between what this world has to offer or to give it up for Christ and for heaven. So in verse number 22, we see the young rich man's decision, whether he chose to follow Christ or whether he thought that this world had too much to offer, had looked too good to give it all up and for Christ and for heaven. In verse 22 reads, "When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." He went away sad because he had great wealth. How many of us in our everyday lives choose to give up Christ because of what this world has to offer? We have the choice between doing what makes us feel good or following Christ. How many of us choose to forsake ourselves and follow Christ? How many of us choose to look at the bigger picture, which is heaven? Or how many of us choose to say nah, or put it off, or say this world has too much to offer for that? Why? How many of us choose to do what we feel like instead of following Christ? But then how many of us choose Christ over this world? How many of us are willing to make the sacrifices to, you know what, say, this world has too little to offer compared to heaven? How many of us choose Christ over ourselves? But in this case, the rich man did not. And in my conclusion, I would like to extend the Lord's invitation for all those who have not yet become members, who are still choosing this world over what Christ has to offer, who are still choosing to do what makes them feel happy or what gives them this earthly temporary pleasure over an eternity with Christ, over a lifetime, an eternal lifetime of pleasure in heaven with Christ and with God our Father. And then the story ends by Christ giving an example to his disciples, saying that it is easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to give up heaven, to enter heaven. And that's because most of them think that this life, oh, I'm living so well, what possibly can be better than this? But then you know what happens? They die. And what happens if we spent this whole life living for us and not for Christ, and we die? Just ask the rich man. But what happens if we live a whole life serving God, being obedient and pleasing to God? Just ask Lazarus. And I would like to extend the Lord's invitation for all those who are not yet members. You must hear, believe, found in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Repent of your sins, found in Acts 2 and 38. Confess Christ, found in Romans 10 and 9. And be baptized for the remission of your sins in Mark chapter 16 and 16. But it doesn't end there. You must also continue making the choices and the sacrifice for Christ. Doing what Christ says, not what this world says or what we feel is right. Or simply just staying faithful in Christ, found in Revelations 2 and 10. Thank you.